Well, for this Palm Sunday, you probably expect me to read the account of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. But instead of that, this Sunday, we're actually going to enter into our Lenten theme, what we've been doing throughout the rest of our midweeks in Lent. We've been going through the parables of Jesus. So we're going to pick up a parable today. And also, we're going to have a parable for Easter Sunday. This morning, our sermon text is the parable of the rich fool from Luke chapter 12. So if you're able, I'd ask you to please rise again for the hearing of God's holy word. And we'll read Luke 12, 13 to 21 in Jesus' name. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Heavenly Father, your word is truth. We pray that you would sanctify us by that truth. Thank you for this parable from Luke chapter 12. I pray that you would show us our sin and need for a Savior, Lord, and point us to Jesus. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. As chapter 12 of the book of Luke opens, there are people gathering around Jesus. Thousands of people, in fact, gathering. They've come to hear him teach. And there are so many people gathering around Jesus that they're beginning to trample each other just to get close to him. And while they're doing this, Jesus is teaching very significant and important things to the crowd. He teaches them to avoid hypocrisy. He teaches them that God cares for them. And he also tells them that if they acknowledge him before other people, he will acknowledge them before the Father. After our parable, Jesus is going to go on and teach even more significant and important things to the crowd. But our parable from Luke chapter 12, it's almost like an intermission in the teaching of Jesus that day. There must have been some kind of break in the action, some kind of break in what Jesus was saying, because there's a man from the crowd who speaks up, and he asks a question that really comes out of left field, or seems to. I mean, I've never hit a break of the teaching in Sunday school and had someone shout out to me and ask me to help settle a family dispute. It would be very strange if that ever happened, but in first century Israel, it would have been a much more common thing. Back in those days, the rabbis, who were the teachers of the law, they also could function in that role of judge. And family disputes about inheritance and things like that, that was one of the things that they had to judge between. More than likely, what we have here in this text is a younger brother who wants his older brother to sell off the family property so that he can receive what is due to him and go out from the family place and strike out on his own and live independently. This was the supreme concern of that man. It was the one thing that truly mattered to him. It was the real reason he came to see Jesus on this particular day. It wasn't that he wanted to hear Jesus teaching, or even that he wanted to check this guy out and see if he could possibly be the Messiah. Instead, he wanted to use the authority that Jesus had as a good teacher to get his brother to do what he wanted him to do. This man who asks the question his focus was on nothing but material things and not at all on the spiritual things that Jesus had to teach. Now, the details about who's right and who's wrong in this situation, they don't matter at all to Jesus. He doesn't even ask about them. Jesus didn't come to judge who would get what part of the family inheritance. Instead, he came to live, suffer, die, and rise again so that he could make us into the children of God so that we might be able to inherit eternal life. So Jesus, he doesn't even give an answer to the man's question. Instead, he says, "Man, who made me judge or arbiter over you?" And then Jesus takes this opportunity to continue teaching, saying, "Take care and be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." You see, Jesus had been teaching the words of life. He had been calling out sin and hypocrisy. He had been teaching people how they might be saved. He had been teaching about the most important things that there are. And then this man asks this question about the inheritance, and it's incredibly important to him, but it's really a meaningless question in light of the other things Jesus was teaching about. This man was so blinded by his desire to get his inheritance that he didn't hear what Jesus had to say. And so it is with these words that Jesus really rebukes this man, and then he goes on and teaches the parable of the rich fool. It's a parable about a man very similar to the one who asked the question, a man focused on material things with not a thought for the spiritual. Has anybody ever had their plans ruined before? I see a couple hands shooting up. Gretchen's might have been the fastest, which is probably fitting because I'm about to tell a story about her. A week ago Monday, that's my normal day off, I had big plans. I was going to have a busy day after I slept in as late as possible, of course. I was going to sleep in as late as I could, and then I was going to change the oil in a car. Then I was going to come up to the church and get the riding lawnmower. I was going to change the oil in that. Thought I'd probably sharpen up the lawnmower blades. We're not that far off from needing it. Then I thought I'd head over to Gordon's house and pick up his scooter so Madison and I could run around town on it throughout the summer. I was planning to make a delicious supper. I was going to throw some meat on the smoker and just let it sit there all day until it was perfect. I had to go to the freezer and take an uncured ham out and get the cure ready so that we could eat on Easter Sunday. And then I really hoped that once I was done with all my running and work and all the projects I wanted to do, that maybe I could talk someone in to sitting down and playing board games with me for an hour or two. I had big plans. I was excited about my day. All those plans fell apart by 5:30 a.m. Actually, they fell apart probably an hour and a half before that, but I was still asleep, so I didn't know it. When I finally did wake up, Gretchen was, she was sick. She was really, really sick, maybe even sicker than I've ever seen her before. So rather than sleeping in, I ended up getting the kids ready to go to school. You know, I expected Gretchen to feel a little better and go back to bed, and then I could do what I wanted to do with my day. But none of that happened. Because as most of you know, Gretchen wasn't a normal kind of sick 2 weeks ago. I went back in to check on her a few times, and eventually she thought she had a gallbladder issue, and she was right. We had to take her to the hospital and have it removed. You know, I had big plans for that Monday, and I didn't expect anything that could have ruined them, but I didn't get any of these plans done. You see, you never know what's going to happen in life or how your plans are going to have to change because of bigger and more important things that are happening outside of your control. The parable of the rich fool that Jesus teaches, it teaches that very same truth. In the parable, Jesus talks about a rich man who had a very good year. His crops produced well, and he had an abundance of wealth. He makes a plan to build bigger barns so that he can store everything. And after that, he's just going to take life easy. He says to his own soul, "We will eat and drink and relax and be merry for years." The rich man in this parable believes this will be the rest of his life, enjoying and living off of the fruits of his labor. The problem that the rich man has in this parable is not that he's planning for the future. That's actually a smart thing. God calls us to be good stewards of what he's given to us. There's nothing wrong with, say, saving for our retirement or putting some money aside for a rainy day. The issue with the man in this parable is where he places his trust. Remember, he said to his own soul, "Soul, you have ample goods." It was his trust, his faith were placed in those material things. It was placed in his abundance and in everything he accomplished, everything he had made for himself. Now this man thinks he's set. He thinks he's got enough and he can put his feet up and relax for the rest of his life. But God says to the man, "You fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you've prepared, whose will they be?" Well, the rich man in the parable wouldn't have had an answer to this, but Solomon does in the book of Ecclesiastes. He says likely some fool is going to get what you've stored up and then squander it all. You see, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We never do. Frankly, we don't even know what the rest of today is going to hold for us. We can make all the plans in the world, but who knows if any of these plans will ever come to pass. That's why James teaches this: "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.' As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil." As Jesus comes to the end of his parable, he says, "So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and not rich toward God." This is the big point of the parable that Jesus is teaching, that all the stuff in this world is simply never enough. Never has been enough, and it never will be enough. Remember from Sunday school, King Solomon told us that he tried all of this. He said to himself, "Come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expected in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after the wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun." You see, all of the things that we store up for ourselves in this world, they're eventually going to fail us. They're never going to be able to satisfy, and they most certainly can never save. They might bring us happiness and pleasure for a moment, but in the end, we will find, just like Solomon said, that they are nothing but vanity and they are utterly meaningless. And even more, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. All of our stuff could be stolen or lost in a fire. And even more than that, we don't know when God will require the souls from us. And on the last day, those things that we've accumulated are not going to do anything for us. You can't put enough money in the bank to be able to bribe God to get yourself into heaven. There's no amount of wealth that could ever buy the favor of God or sway him in the slightest. You see, at the end of Jesus' parable, he tells us that all the riches in the world, they don't count towards anything with God. Jesus teaches that we need to become rich toward God. And there's only one way for us to do that. And the week that is ahead of us reminds us of that one way to become rich towards God. You see, today is Palm Sunday, and it's the day that we remember as Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem to the shouts, acclamation, and praise of the people. They waved palm branches and proclaimed him to be the Son of David, the Messiah. They treated Jesus just like a conquering king, which he is. But he wasn't entering Jerusalem to overthrow the Romans and set up his physical kingdom on earth. Instead, Jesus was going into Jerusalem that last time so that he might suffer at the hands of Pontius Pilate, that he might be crucified, die, and rise again on the third day, bearing the sins of the entire world and paying for them in full. You see, our material things cannot make us rich towards God. Neither can our attempts at good works. Neither can anything that we do or earn or work for or try. None of it has any hope of making us rich towards God. The only thing that works is not our works, but the finished work of Jesus Christ. His perfect life was lived in your place because you could not. And his all-atoning death paid the price for all of your sins. You see, all of that is freely offered to us in word and in sacrament and is only received by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us this: "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." You see, that is how we store up riches towards God, by receiving the righteousness of Christ as a gift, by trusting that Christ bore even your sins upon the cross, by having faith in the perfect life, the sacrificial death and resurrection, and trusting that they are enough even for you. The things of this world will never and can never fulfill us. In the end, we will find that they are nothing but meaningless vanity, that they are here today and gone tomorrow. They can never do anything to save you or ensure that you will even have a tomorrow. You see, all of that is out of your control. While you might never know what tomorrow is going to bring, and the things that you store up from yourself will fail and fall short, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you know what eternity brings, and your eternity is secure in him. By grace and through faith, the righteousness of Christ is yours. And that means you are as rich towards God as you can ever be. So when that final day comes, you can know that your eternity is secure in the one who had no sin but was made to be sin for you. Because in him you are redeemed. In him your relationship with God is restored. And in him your eternity is secure. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this parable of the rich fool. This parable that teaches us that nothing in this life will satisfy, that nothing in this life will last, and nothing in this life can earn your favor or salvation. Lord, there's nothing we could do to ever earn your favor. But you knew that. And that's why you sent your Son. To live the perfect life we could never live, to die the death that our sins had earned for us, and to pay for our sins in full. Lord, by your word, strengthen our faith in you. Lord, as we now get ready to go to your table, I ask that you would show us our sin and allow us to confess it freely. And allow us also, Lord, to trust that at the table we are given the body and blood of your crucified and risen Son, given and shed for the forgiveness of our sins. By your supper, Lord, strengthen our faith, we pray. Amen.